So we're going to talk about it in Acts chapter 4. Keep on doing it. Still continue to keep Mr. Williams in your prayers. I think I called him, and he's really weak from his surgery. But I was going down 115 the day and saw him driving that P2 Cruiser. So I said, all right, he's out and about, so he must be all right. He didn't see me, but I saw him going. I said, that's Mr. Williams. So I'll be praying for him. He had a pretty rough surgery because his heart stopped twice during the surgery. Had to shock him, and he had a really rough time. So we're glad he is alive and okay. All right, we're going to be in Acts 4. And this chapter is talking about, we've talked on it before, but I have a little different message on this chapter tonight. This is talking about when the lame man was healed, when Peter and John walked by and said, silver and gold have I none, says I have I given to you, rise up and walk. Well, boy, that stirred up the crowd. They didn't like that. That stirred up all them Sadducees and Pharisees and all them, you know, sea people. They didn't like it. And it just rocked the world. And so chapter 4 picks up kind of after this healing of this man. This man's about 40 years old that got healed, been lame his whole life, never walked until Jesus touched him. So chapter 4, verse 1, as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon him. Now, to make this more relevant tonight, because we hear that word Sadducees, don't mean nothing to us. You know, we're used to words today like Republicans, Democrats, Socialists, Communism, you know, whatever. Let me explain what a Sadducee was, in case you don't know. Sadducee was one of three main political movements in that day. They were one of the main political movements, religious order, political movement, however you want to call it. And the Sadducees were a little more conservative than the Pharisees in this. The Sadducees believed that only the written word of God was truly his word, whereas the Pharisees actually believed that the spoken oracle, the oracles and the procedures they go through, had as much merit as the written word. So the Sadducee says, no, going through all the motions and the oracle part doesn't have as much power. It's the written word of God that really has the power. But there were some things the Sadducees disagree with about Scripture. Four things I want to point out. I think it's just good we know this, because we see Sadducees all the time, don't mean anything to us. But there were four things Sadducees did not believe in that the Word teaches us. Number one, they were very self-sufficient and denied God in their everyday life. That they needed God for everyday life. They just were self-reliant, self-indulgent, that God wasn't really part of their everyday life. Number two, they denied the resurrection from the dead, did not believe in a resurrection, went against that. So as you can imagine, this paints a little more clearer picture now as we see the attack the Sadducees are going to have on Peter and John, because what did they teach? Jesus, whom you crucified and was resurrected. So they didn't believe in a resurrection. Third thing Sadducees didn't believe in, they didn't believe in any afterlife. They didn't believe, they believed your soul perished at death and there was no reward or penalty. So they believed in no afterlife, which of course goes against Scripture that we learn as Christians. And the fourth thing, they didn't believe in any, they didn't believe in a spiritual realm as far as angels and demons. Didn't believe in that. So now it paints a more clear picture we go who the people attacking them were. When you find out, okay, they didn't believe in these things, this is probably why they are attacking them. Now, at this time, Israel was under the control of Rome. They were under the Roman Empire, under Rome's rule. And the Sadducees were real easygoing folks. They didn't want to rattle the boat, and they didn't want any unwanted attention from Rome. So that's another reason they began to attack these men. So, verse 2, they were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, through Jesus. They didn't believe in that. Remember that. And they laid hands on them. They put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening tide. So these religious leaders physically went and got these two men and locked them up just because they're preaching Jesus, because they're preaching resurrection from the dead, because they're preaching he is the way, truth, and life. Just because they're preaching the gospel, now they've been arrested and held over. They're going to be punished. Or so they thought they were going to punish them. Verse 4 says, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Remember we read Sunday? It was this past Sunday. We read about 3,000 added to the church. Here's 5,000 more. I mean, can you imagine having two services and have 8,000 people? I mean, that's pretty good.
makes us feel like I'm not doing nothing. I mean, that's pretty good. 5,000 people had already believed. Now, I like what the word says. Understand what it says. It doesn't say that they had to jump through any hoops or do any tricks. It says that they heard the word and they believed. And because they believed what they were saying was truth, 5,000 were added. We know what that means. 5,000 were gained for the kingdom. 5,000 were added to God's church just because they believed the word they heard. They believed it. Now, this was tough because right now they're only preaching to the Jewish people. They're not preaching to Gentiles. They're preaching to Jews. And Jews were stout in their law, stout in their doctrine. I mean, it's like going, let's put it this way. Some of you can relate to this. You come out of this background or similar background. It'd be like me going into a Pentecostal holiness church and saying women can wear pants. She the devil. I mean, that's what the reaction would be. Hello, Miss LeJean. So great to see you. That's how it would be. Or if I went into, a stiff Southern Baptist church and begin to speak in tongues openly. Oh, we don't know how to handle this. What's going on? Oh, my God. Ooh, we don't do this. What they going to do? Understand the Jewish custom was tough. And their whole lives had been programmed one way. Law, law, law. The law of Moses. The law of Moses. Going through all the rituals. Going through all the stuff. They were programmed with that. Now, all of a sudden, we got two men preaching. You don't need the law. Just need Jesus. You don't need to go through all that stuff. Just need Jesus. All of a sudden, the complication of the religious system was turned upside down. And it was so simple, it confounded the wise. What do you mean? Because we got all this stuff. I mean, we got these bells we ring. We got the candles we light. We got the Torah we read. We got all the hymns already programmed in. And we got all the readings already logged we're going to read. And we have, the offering time and this time. And you're telling me none of that's necessary? Nope. I'm preaching that Jesus was crucified and risen. And now he is the hope of your future. So it shook their world. They wasn't used to hearing this. I mean, their own, Jewish people turned against their own. The Bible says that. They turned against Jesus himself. They thought he was blaspheming because he says, I am the Father of one. If you've seen the Father or seen me, you've seen the Father. What? They didn't get that. It blew their minds away. They couldn't understand the simplicity that you're telling me. All that I've learned, and I think it's a great lesson for all of us. Because some of us are so stubborn about things, I'm telling you, if somebody shows a better way to do it, we would go the hard way around 40 years in the desert just to prove we're right. Instead of saying, you know what, there's a simpler way. I'll do it your way. I'm not too proud to admit. You know what, I have been doing the. And so when it comes to religious understanding, sometimes because we've been in the same church for 40 years, or the preacher's always said this way, or because, my grandpa said it, my dad said it, and it's passed down like the pot roast story I told you. You know the pot roast. All that is passed down by George. The preacher said it. I believe it. What does God say? What does his word say? We become so reliant upon other people telling us the truth instead of hearing the voice of God ourselves and hearing what God has to say. Because I want to hear what God has to say. And I want to hear what his word has to say. And there is nothing wrong. I'm not saying we change our foundation to word. But there is nothing wrong with letting God evolve us to more understanding and deeper things. And just because we've always heard it don't mean it's always right. You remember, wasn't there a saying that, as a kid you heard, you eat bubble gum and you swallow it? What was it that happened to you? Yeah, but I used to hear horror stories. They blow up and... Yeah, and I don't know. You hear that stuff as a kid, and you're like, oh my, that's good. I don't need to swallow. It's not smart. But my mom used to tell me, don't cross your eye like that. I had a cousin got stuck like that. I believe my whole life got stuck like that one time. Don't do that. Get stuck. But you know what? It made a point. I didn't do that. I don't do it very much. It did worry me. It scared me. But we hear all of this stuff that we just... we just pass down, and we come into a church, we come into a sanctuary, and, because we didn't hear it that way yesterday or 20 years ago, we think, oh my, let God speak to you. These Jewish people had never heard anything outside the law and what they've been taught from the old covenant. And now here, Peter and John are rocking the community by talking about this Jesus man. And people believed it. Verse 5, it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Ananias the high priest and Cephas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they brought them out now to put them in the middle of their little circle. And they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? What power? What name has this man been healed? Because we know this man. He's been crippled his whole life, never walked, been at that gate his whole life begging for alms. Now this man's walking. What did you do? What's your secret? What's your trick? They want to know. They have no understanding at this point. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you, I'm going to tell you how we did it, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, and who God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. Wow, that's a powerful verse. What if we were that bold? People asked us about our faith, asked us who done it. And I love what Ralph said. He did that a while ago, giving God glory for it. That's what we do. It's God that's kept me. It's God that's provided for me. It's God that makes the way. It's God that's head of all things. It's God in me, the hope of glory. And there's no other way, no other hope. It's not my goodness. It's not what I've done in the past. It's not my achievements or my accomplishments or all the accolades you want to pour upon me. Nothing to do with me. It's all back to the one name above all names, the one name where all things were changed, the one name that shook the tomb open, the one name that raises the dead, the one name that birthed the kingdom, the one name that passes healing upon all flesh, the one name that those stripes healed all mankind that would believe that would be that one name, and that is all the name that should ever be worshipped or ever be exalted or ever get any glory or praise is that name. And that's what they were saying. This man, Sadducees, who don't even believe in the resurrection, God raised him up. Because y'all saw him die. Y'all saw him put in a tomb. And y'all saw 3 days later he came out. Because he walked the earth. See, I love how Jesus walked for 40 days before he ascended. He didn't just sneak out of town out the back door. He didn't come out of the tomb. I'm alive. Woo, psych, see you. Gone. He walked around for 40 days and thousands saw him. The same Jesus, we saw him poke a spear in your side and blood roll down. We saw them wrap you up. We saw them seal you behind a rock. We saw that rock close for 3 days and now you're out and you're alive and you're risen. I saw it. I was a witness. Think about the witnesses that saw it. God left plenty of proof behind that he raised Christ from the dead. And Sadducees are like, man, by this name, that's what I was afraid of. See, that name still shakes folks up. That name still rattles the world, man. That name, because there's no other power, no other name. There's power in that name. There's still power in that name. That's why the cross is so offensive to some. And I want to tell you something. Here's the deal I have. Because I am an American, and I believe in liberty. I believe in freedom. We are a nation like no other. I'm not one of these stiff-necked people that say it's my way or the highway. It might surprise you, but here's how I feel. People say, well, people want to practice, you know, Islam faith, or they want to practice this faith, or the atheists want this day for them. Fine. Put your golden calf up. Just don't take my cross down. That's my deal. Fine. Take your blanket at school. Let your students, that's fine. Just let me have the same right to exercise my faith. Let me bow down and call up on the name of Jesus. Just let me have that. See, that would change the world. I'm not a type that says get rid of everything, because we are in a land that promotes the freedom of worship. And I understand that. Just don't try to take my worship away. That's where I got a problem. If the atheist wants a day, fine. I mean, they want a day that they don't believe in. Fine. It makes no sense. Not a problem. But just let me exercise boldly the faith God's given me. Because it seems that's the problem, that others are being elevated and we are trying to be pushed down, and that's not right. Let it be in a nation of equal worship. And whatever you want to believe in, you want to believe. You know, this might surprise you because, of course, I'm not for the Islamic message at all. But there was a woman about a year or so ago in the news who wore her, they got a word for it, I'm not sure what it is, but wore the hoodie thing over her head in court. And the judge is a Christian judge. And the judge says, you've got to remove that before you can be in my court. And she refused, said it's part of my faith. And me and Melanie had a discussion about this. And I'm like, you know, if that's her faith, let her wear it. Just let me have my faith too. That's the difference. Let me have my faith. Don't tell me if I come in with a big old cross on my neck, take that cross off of my courthouse. No, this is my faith. And I wear it as part of my faith or whatever. So I think as Christians, if we would understand, you know, we're not trying to destroy anybody else. We're just trying to promote our God. We're trying to promote Jesus and be proud of that and not ashamed of that. So I think that's where we need to come from, to say, you know what, just let me worship the Lord. You know, I mean, they got a kid a few years ago in class, a first grader, or kindergartner first grader, that you might see this on the news that said, write something what Christmas means to you. What does Christmas mean to you? Well, she started writing about Jesus and had to read it out loud in front of the class. Well, Christmas means Jesus. He was born in a manger, and it meant it. And they made her not use it, poured to the principal's office. They had a parent meeting and all this, saying that she couldn't be talking about Jesus in the class. But yet our classrooms are teaching us about other religion. If you're in high school, you know you go through other, there's a world religion class, and there are different courses you take where you learn about other religions. So just don't take mine away. And so, you know, it wasn't that Peter and Paul was going around trying to overthrow the government. I mean, think about this. They're walking one day, okay? Pretend you can't walk. Just lay that. Pretend you're crippled, okay? And you're begging for alms. You're the man. I'm walking by. Hold your hand like you want something. And I look at you. And you get all excited, like, I'm going to give you some money. So I dig in my pocket. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, rise up and walk. Now stand up. And she rises up. And she walks. And she goes out. Yeah, she celebrates. And then they go on their way. Thank you very much. They go. That's all they did. They didn't go in the council. By George, we got an amendment written up. If you don't use our Jesus, we're going to burn the town down. We're going to throw rocks through your windows, turn over your chariots, poison your camels. We are going to go havoc. No, they simply just walked by, saw a need, and gave them Jesus. They were fine living in their country. They were fine living in their land. They were fine obeying the government and obeying the law until it crosses God's law. Until it comes to a point we make a decision. Go to the next verse. That now they're quoting verses. This is out of Psalms, I believe, 118 or so. It's what they're quoting this out of. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become head of the corner. Talked about that last week, too, how Christ head of the church. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. All they're doing is preaching and teaching what they've heard and what they've learned. They're not trying to cause havoc. They're not trying to overthrow anybody. They're simply are ministering what God gave them, and people can respond or they can't respond. And the ones that respond become believers and move on, and the ones that don't, they shake their feet off the mats, the Bible says, and they move on and keep preaching the gospel. But no other name can men be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And what this means, it wasn't that they were stupid men, of course. It means that they weren't taught and raised in all this religious synagogal kind of teaching. And they're like, I know these men. They don't understand the high priest is a big deal in that day. I mean, the high priest was, I guess, is kind of like how a cardinal in the Catholic Church would be, you know, popish, cardinalish. You know, it was very distinguished. It was very separate. They had influence. They dressed a certain way. They had power and authority over the word of God, so to speak. And so people looked to them for direction. And so they're sitting there saying, how does this man, use me for an example. I'm just a lowly common man. I have no college. I have no divinity degree. I just preach the gospel. And so it would be like a great seasoned doctor. And I would like to be called Dr. James. That'd be really cool. But I can't legally. So I just can't. But anyway, have these doctor preachers who have divinity degrees, and that is wonderful.
who go to seminary, divinity, and they've achieved a doctorate, and they're so educated, and they're so smart, and they're so deep in the Word of God, and they have all these facts, and you know, they can put the doctor, Dr. dot in front of their name at the gold plate in their door, doctor's office. I mean, it's doctor's office. Well, the pastor's office, but doctor's office. Anyway, they can put that on there, and it looks great, and it sounds good. And here comes this lowly James Lewis, and, oh, you going to be preaching? Yeah. You got a church? Yeah. Where'd you go to school? Nowhere. What do you mean? Well, I mean, I graduated, but yeah, that's about as far as I went. And you didn't go, and I didn't go to seminary. You don't have any degree. Not have any degrees. You don't even have a I don't have a bachelor. Don't have a master's. Don't have a divinity. I just know who the master is and who the divine one is. That I know. And so people are like, wow, you have word. You have knowledge. You preach. How do you do that? Because it comes from the Holy Spirit. This is very relevant because I've been, not education, not always a good thing. You know, college isn't for everybody, so to speak, especially nowadays. These kids are coming out with student loans they'll be paying on for 10 years, 15 years, and some of them can't get a job in the field they want. It's sad. College isn't for everyone. And so just because you're educated doesn't mean you're wise. Peter and John were wise in the things of God. You know why? They had been in the upper room. They had been where the doctors tread to go. They had been behind a veil they would never enter. They were in a place of humility and submission to something they couldn't yet see, but yet they put themselves in that place to receive all God had for them. And so Peter come out. Remember that we talked about this last week, that Peter come out of that upper room preaching that bold first gospel message and how 3,000 were added. And they thought they were drunk because the Holy Spirit had infilled them. And Peter come out so strong and so bold that it convicted 3,000 hearts to receive the word. No education or doctorate degree can give you that. Yes, you could be persuasive with words, with education, but without the anointing, without the Holy Spirit, without Him living inside of you, it's nothing. It's empty words. It's futile words falling on the ground. But when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of it, when God's power gets a hold of it, and it gets inside of you, it changes you, and it transforms you when He touches it. And this is what they're saying, you're ignorant man, you're unlearned, you've not been through all the schooling we have, you don't wear the gold robe and have the little tassels, and you know, you're not educated in the matters of religious teaching, but wow, how are you doing this? But they marveled, and they marveled because of it, because of the knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They recognized they'd been with Jesus. You can tell someone who's been with Jesus versus somebody who just knows about Jesus. See, do we know about Jesus or do we know Jesus? We all have those friends that we know at school, we know at work. Do you work? Yeah, I know so-and-so. But do you know them or do you know of them? So that's the same way. We got a lot of folks know of Jesus but don't know Jesus. To know Jesus has to be relationship. Relationship has to go two ways. So they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I mean, here's Vicky, the man, standing right beside the disciples, and all the council staring at him, knowing you were crippled your whole life, and there you stand. I can't deny that. They couldn't deny what they were seeing with their eyes, that he had been made whole, and they couldn't say anything against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. So they dismissed them for a minute. They're coming together in a little huddle. You know, what are we going to do with these boys? What are we going to do? And it says, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them. It is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. We can't deny it. So what are we going to do? And I love when I hear reports like that where doctors will even say, who was it recently? Somebody here in the church recently had a report, and the doctor actually told them, I can't explain it, it was a miracle. I forget who that was. It might have been Elizabeth. I can't remember, but it was somebody that told me that the doctor used the words, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. Man, you love when you hear that professed from someone else. It is a miracle. That shouldn't have happened. Don't know how it was gone, but it was there. Now it's not. It's a miracle. I love when God does the notable, undeniable miracle. And even if it doesn't, even if it's not so notable, it's still undeniable because it's still God in us. See, I look at miracles a little different than some people. I know God can do the miraculous miracle and the things that we just in awe of. But
you know, when our kids come home to us safe every day, that's a miracle, isn't it? You know, when we wake up in the morning on this side of the grave, that's a miracle in itself. You know, when our bills are paid, that's, to me, that's God, you showed up and you provided. The things like that, you know, all the accidents you keep us from that we never know. Do you really realize how close cars are traveling to each other at all times? And I mean, just, oh my, the split hairs that separate sometimes things from colliding. And you got all kinds of drivers out there, drunk drivers, high drivers, teenage drivers, old people. Everybody out there is like, my Lord, I got behind a woman the other day, yesterday, my goodness, you're going like 23 miles an hour. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I couldn't get around her. I'm like, oh my gosh. And weaving, I'm like, oh my, bless her little heart. Just go home, watch Days of Our Lives. I don't know. I just need to get around. Just need to get around. But anyway, we cannot deny it. Verse 17. It is, but, now, I love this. Like they can stop this, right? But that it spread no further among the people, let us threaten them that they speak no more of this man by name. We'll just tell them they better not talk about Jesus no more. That sounds familiar, don't it, in our generation? Just don't talk about Jesus no more. Now, that name upsets me. Just don't talk about Jesus. Because we, see, you know, we got a lot of high schools now that, you know, can't use the name of Jesus in their graduation speeches, and we got different things going on. I'm just telling you, once again, let the atheist student, let the Muslim student, let the Christian student all have their speeches, and let's see which one draws and convicts. Let's just see which one gets the attention. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's no name that created anything outside that name. There's nothing made visible, invisible, that we can't see that wasn't ordained, created by our Maker. The Bible is clear on that. And there's only one name, we read in verse 12, whereby we can be saved. There was only one Lamb of God that was raised for our righteousness. There was only one Lamb of God that was slain for our sins. Only one Lamb of God that fulfilled the law so perfectly and so completely that now we walk in a sentence of forgiveness and grace all of our days because of that death and resurrection. That's powerful. I mean, church, that's powerful. And that's why the devil tries to silence the message of Christ being all that we need. And I know there's you know, end time preaching, people call it, revelation preaching, all those things. And that's, I've told you before, that's not where God has me, not who I am. There's a lot of stuff that I don't understand, so I'm not going to try to preach that I don't understand. I know the old bad dragon revelations. All I know is that dragon's bad. That's all I need to know. So avoid the dragon, right? Avoid the dragon. No matter how many horns it's got, avoid it. Avoid that system, avoid that movement, avoid that anti-Christ, avoid that. All I know is Jesus, and all I care about is I'm his child, and all I know is he paid for my sins and I would inherit everlasting life, and so I can take peace in that all of my days, knowing I have been born again, born out of sin into his righteousness forevermore because of what he did. And that name's worth talking about, and that name's worth standing for. So they said, don't go preach about it no more. We're going to stop it. Can't go no further. And they called him, and they commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Wow. I mean, really? You know, you would think people would want that. They've seen 8,000 people now since the upper room, the chapter before, or two chapters before. You know, they've seen all these thousands of people converting to Christ. They've seen people being healed. They've seen transformation take place, but they want to silence that message. Well, they wanted to silence it, like I said, for several reasons. One, they didn't believe in all of it. Two, they were under Roman control. Didn't want any Roman attention, you know, coming to them. And three, they were positional people. You know, it's kind of like our government in a sense. It's been like that for years and years, our government. They want us to depend upon them. The more we depend upon them, the more job security there is for them. But we realize, you know what? I'm going to depend on God. I'm going to trust God. Then all of a sudden, that gets a little scary for them because you don't need me? No. I know we need certain things in place. But I'm talking about as far as all the stuff. No, I need God's who I need. Because we just sung that song, Awesome God. And what is God? What is he? My provider, my protector, my healer, my deliverer. I mean, he is all those things. And so, yes, I trust God. And if it means, see, people, I want people to hear the message. Not the messenger. Too many follow the messenger, and they don't hear the message. We can get so enthralled with the messenger that we don't even hear what the message is saying. And we never even know we're being deceived or not taught the truth. Or we just accept things because they say it, not because God's word says it. I want to see it in God's word. Lord, what does your word say? Because there's been so much stuff that we've heard, especially from religious folks, that'll tell you this and that, that's not in the word of God. It's not there. So let's find it. Don't teach in that name. Boy, it tore them up. Peter and John said this. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God, you judge. So, you want me to listen to you, Mr. Pharisees and Sadducees, or do I listen to God? Who do you really want me to follow here? You judge that. And then they went on to say this. Kind of remind me of the three Hebrew children stance they made. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were going to keep on, that's my title, keep on doing it. They were going to keep on doing it. They were going to keep on witnessing, keep on serving, keep on teaching, keep on believing, keep on standing. In the face of adversity, they stood. In the face of persecution, they stood. And this is the first bout of persecution right here in the New Testament church. This began the great persecution against Christians. They didn't like that name. They didn't like this following. They didn't like what they stood for. And he says, we're going to keep on preaching it because that's what we've heard and that's what we've seen. And that's what I know. See, once you have an experience with God, it's yours. It's undeniable. Once you have that experience with the Holy Spirit, once you've seen God, once you've heard from God, I'm talking about you've heard from God yourself, not through a preacher. You've heard God yourself. It's gotten into your soul, and you know the voice of God, the hand of God has touched you deep inside. You'll never be able to get away from that because you'll know what real truth is. Even in a season of rebellion, you'll come back to it because you'll know. These rebellious kids who are raised in church, they're getting 16, 18, 20, and they get to that rebellious stage. Deep inside, they still know what they were taught, and they still remember what they learned. It's still deeply rooted. And when they get over their stupid stage, they'll come back to it, and they'll recognize and realize, yeah, I was taught that. I was taught God loved me. I was taught God forgave me. I was taught He wanted what's best for me. I was taught to follow Him. I was taught to depend upon Him. I was taught to serve Him. I was taught He's the only way, truth, and life. With all the mixed messages we have now all over the world, with all the stuff. Somebody put on Facebook to me today. They kind of tagged me and said, he said, I thought there was one Lord, one word, you know, one spirit, one whatever. Why is there so many? And I just put back, there is one. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. Period. That is the message. And everybody won't agree with that, and that's fine. Church, don't try to force it down like, you know, K-Row syrup down a sick person's throat. Not K-Row syrup. What's that stuff that's nasty? Castor oil. Thank you. K-Row syrup. What am I thinking? Yeah. Don't try to force castor oil down somebody's throat. You're going to believe in my Jesus by God. You're going to believe. Holy Ghost, help them believe. You can't shake somebody into truth. Man, I've seen preachers at the altar of the years try to shake people into a condemnation fit. Trying to get the Holy Ghost in them. Trying to get that. Woo, you're going to believe. 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 Oh, I see foam coming out. That demon coming. I mean, believe. I mean, understand. We can't force that into somebody. They've got to hear the word for themselves. And once they hear it, they've got it. My kids can't have my faith. They can't walk as a Christian based on what daddy told them. They've got to get it for themselves. They've got to walk in it as adults for themselves. They can't carry out my teaching. They've got to know Jesus for themselves. Peter and John are being threatened not to talk about it. Quit talking about Jesus. Quit spreading out. But they say, we're going to keep on doing it, Mr. Sadducees. We'll keep on doing it. Because we know what we've seen. We know what we've heard. I'm going to keep on standing. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on teaching. I'm going to keep on witnessing. I'm going to keep on proclaiming that Jesus is all Israel needs. That's all they need. Last verse here. When they had further threatened them, so they kept on trying to threaten them. They say, we're not going to do it, and they kept on trying to threaten them. They let them go. They could find nothing on how they might punish them because of the people. For all men, oh, I love this, all men glorified God for that which was done. When we glorify our God again, we get so captured into worshiping God again, and not man, not a religion, not a church, not a movement. We worship God for who He is. God, You're the only one that we should worship. You're the only name that brought about salvation and redemption. And all men should glorify You. I love the Hebrew children's story. Very similar. If you remember, the king got mad at them. You got to go bow down. When I play the music, boys, I give you a second chance. Bow down, you'll be spared. And I love their response. Oh, king, we're not careful to answer you. Ain't got to think about it. I mean, you can threaten us all you want. We don't even have to think about it. Play the music of all you want. Turn that bass up. All you want. Play that bass. Play that. All you want. Turn it up. Crank it loud. Play it over and over and over. But we're never going to bow down to it. I'm telling you now, we're only going to serve the God we believe in. So throw us in the fire, kill us, do what you want. I'm going to keep on doing what I do, and that's standing for my God. And we need that same fortitude, because there's a lot of error, there's a lot of deception, there's a lot of wrong teaching, there's a lot of ideology that tries to creep into our lives, into our families' lives, into our minds, that if we're not careful, it can draw us away from the truth a little bit. And we'll start questioning a lot of things. Questioning things is fine as long as you know the foundation you stand on. And I know the foundation that I stand on because the Word tells me. I believe this Word gives man what we need in this earth. I truly do that. I know there's questions, you know, the Bible don't specifically answer. I understand that. And there's a lot of debate that comes up on different questions, especially stuff like, you know, hell and heaven and suicide. That's a big one I get a lot of the pastor about suicide. And there's a lot of things that's not specifically maybe in here, and people take a doctrine and make a whole doctrine out of something that's really not even in here. And that's dangerous. Let's really find out. I believe God gave us enough of what we need in our earthly journey until we enter the kingdom to be able to serve God with boldness, with confidence, and with faith, and equipped us on how to live our lives for Him. It's pretty clear. And we can take out, we can add to, but it don't mean it's Scripture. And that's what's happened, and that's what's happened with, you know, a lot of stuff. It's like I preached 2 weeks ago about with the Pope being in town, and I want to make this clear. I touched on it last Wednesday and a little bit Sunday morning, and had one person I feel like was negative toward me on that, made a comment at the back door. And if you were here, it was not at all a condemning message. I was promoting what the gospel said. And so, you know, we can elevate all we want other men. Church, they ain't Jesus. They ain't but one Jesus. They ain't but one Lord. And what inspired my message was, once again, wrong teaching. Where I heard a guy on the radio say, he's a Catholic guy, said, you know, Peter was the first pope, and Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church. Well, if you really understand anything about Scripture, not just take it down from what they teach, the rock was not Peter. The rock was the revelation Peter had that you are the Son of the living God. Jesus said, that's what I'm going to build my church on. I'm the Son of the living God, and on that I'll build my church. Peter wasn't a pope. Peter was a disciple. He was a spiritual leader. Yes, he was a disciple. He was an apostle, whatever you want to call him. But he wasn't a pope in the sense that he was the authoritative voice for all mankind concerning religion. He was a servant of Christ. I mean, even Paul said at one place, Paul I admire so much, and he says, you know, I'm the least of the saints. I'm nobody. I'm just saved by grace, so to speak. And so I want to make sure that we're not captured by man, but we're captured by God. That's what's important. When we get to that place, the Bible's in Revelation that around the throne, we'll be around God's throne worshiping and praising. And the vision that John saw with thousands upon thousands upon thousands, you know, singing hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb. That's who we're working and serving. It's God. Nobody else. You don't have to please your Christian friends. You follow Christ. Because, man, they'll put you in a box sometimes and make you feel 10 times worse than what
you felt you went into work that day because, you know, you're not doing a certain way they believe. I serve God. I'm a follower of Jesus. He's my God. As much as he's your, you know, I got three kids. If you got more than one kid, you're the parents to all of them. But Jesus got four. So you got three boys and a girl. They're all different. They look different. They act different. They got different weaknesses and different strengths. But they're all loved the same. You know, Coop ain't got to bleed the same way Nikki bleeds to get LeJune to say, I'm still your mother. It don't matter how they bleed. They're all LeJune's children. They're her seed. We're going to look different. We're going to have some variation in our differences in what we worship and, you know, whatever. But we're God's. And the only message that's important is what Peter is saying here. It's in that name, the one you crucified. And Acts talks about where Peter says, the same one you crucified has risen, and he is now Lord and Christ. And that's the message. We're going to be a little different. It's okay. We can be different, still all be Christians. We can look different, still be Christians. I believe there's Christians in every denomination that place their faith in Christ. It's that simple. I may not agree with what they do. I may think all the ceremony is unnecessary. I may think, boy, the music is so dry. I mean, like the Andy Griffith, dry as dust. Remember that? Dry as dust. Oh, my gosh. They call that music. I mean, I'm used to, ooh, hallelujah. You know, not, ooh. I mean, you're like in your funeral home. Are you kidding me? But you know what? They're still Christians, too. They're the mellow Christians. Peace, dude. I'm mellow. I'm a cool cat. I don't like that loud scene. I like it quiet in my church. That's fine. That is fine. But boy, let Cam Newton throw an interception and see how quiet you are. Just saying, that's how we are. So don't knock the Lutheran, don't knock the Pentecostal being too loud, Lutheran being too quiet. We all God's children if we're facing Christ. And that's the beauty of the Christian walk, is we can take, I've got the same father Joe Brown has. Same father. Got the same father that mom and dad have. The same father LeJune's got. Brother Roseburr is up there at Chestnut Grove dancing around, singing for his Jesus. And us white folks up here standing here like this. You know what? We still serve the same God. I just like the way he serves better. That's for sure. I mean, boy, he'll get out there. Going on, my Jesus, just the same. Woo! Going on, my Jesus, just the same. I mean, I love it. Some folks are like, oh, my. We serve the same God. You know what the difference is? He really knows who he serves. Some of us are like, oh, I ain't sure who I serve. He knows who he serves. And, man, when you know who you serve, you get happy. You get excited, like the dinner bell on a ranch in the old days. They'd ring at dinner, dinner time, boy. Them, you know, you knew it was time to eat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's my message. Keep on doing it. Keep on standing. Keep on serving. They try to shut you down. Say, you can't shut me up. I'm going to stand for what I believe in and declare Jesus is the way. Don't be ashamed of that. Be bold. Pray God give you boldness to be a witness to others. You know, without being condemning, without being hateful, but with love. With love.